7. It seems like they got short cowboys around here. When you walk over there, you got a duck coming in there. Notice that? A kid that walks you there certainly can't get on that thing. Got to have a stepladder. Okay, Psalm 147. I was listening a little bit to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and he was reading this, mentioning this thing that Obama is complaining because the Hamas is racist. The Hamas is only using the blacks to blow themselves up, and he's wanting more equal opportunity in the Hamas. What a knucklehead. Oh, what a character. Man, this guy's a... this new billboard out that it's with Jimmy Carter's picture on it. Now you can't say I'm the worst president ever. Oh, well. Okay, Psalm 147. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you'd help us now as we approach this holy book, that you'd help us to honor your words and help us to see the great psalmist, David. Many of these psalms he wrote, a man's man, but yet he was a man who sang praises to thee. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to praise thy glory. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to look forward to the day when you receive the glory that is due you. And Lord, help us to be practicing now. Until then, when then we can see you in all your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Psalm 147, down to four of them here. And the last few psalms here are all prophecies, and they usually will be referring to the tribulation time period going into the millennium, because that is the most important doctrine when the Lord Jesus receives the worship and the glory that is due him. Psalm 147, I think I got down to around 7 or 8, around in that range. But verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. Okay, doctrinally, when it mentions something like that, it will take us into the Beatitudes where it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, meekness is an attitude like humility, like sincerity. They are all inward attitudes of one's mind, one's spirit. And today, it is not blessed are the meek inheriting the earth. Today, it's the guy that knows how to protect his property, you know, whether it be in some cultures, you know, whether by force or by law or whatnot. Okay, the idea of the Beatitude in Matthew 5 is referring to the Constitution when Jesus Christ is a king. And so when he says he lifteth up the meek, that will be the folks in the tribulation time period who will have suffered for Jesus Christ. Okay, we are to behave meekly toward those when we witness to them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 shows that we are to answer people with a meek attitude. That doesn't mean you can't be bold, you can't be honest about things. Okay, in 2 Timothy 2:24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They oppose themselves, they are hypocrites. Okay, evolutionists are hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite in some fashion. Okay, but the evolutionists are the biggest hypocrites in the lot. Okay, and so the Lord lifteth up the meek, verse 6, he casteth down the wicked down to the ground. Not only to the ground, according to Revelation 20, he's going to cast them down into hell. And then verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Our plural pronoun, Israel. That song will be recorded in Revelation 19 when they will sing praise to the Lord after the destruction, after the killing, after the destroying of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Then it says about the Lord who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Ravens are typology of, and the beast typology of, unclean spirits. Okay, according to Hebrews 1 verse 3, the earth is held together by the word of his power. Okay, what is keeping the earth together as far as not from exploding because of the sin of mankind is God's word. And when God says, boom, the earth is going to blow up. Okay, it's not going to... The evolutionists think that it began with a big bang, and God says, nope, you are 180 in the wrong again, as usual. It's going to end with a big bang. Okay, and that big bang is recorded in Revelation 20. Verse 10, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man, or the strength of the man. Okay, the Lord does not take pleasure in the strength of a man. Of course, the strength of man, he shows how strong he is through sports, you know, and of course, people in the world and in America, you know, they're infatuated with professional sports. Like to watch that stuff, you know, like to see what's going on and all that stuff. But you see, those guys, you know, yeah, they may be good in their field and their sport or whatnot, but in life, they don't know anything. They definitely are not experts in anything except putting a ball in a little hole, okay, or running a ball through a cow's pasture to get to the end, or kicking a ball, okay, or, you know, running a ball through like rugby and getting beat up on the way down through the process. Okay, they're good at that, but the Lord doesn't take pleasure in those things. Okay, yeah, you can enjoy those things, but the Lord doesn't take pleasure in it. I doubt that when these professing Christians in some of these sports, and they're all watered down when they get there, if they are Christians at all, you know, whenever they get in trouble, they somehow get born again, like Michael Vick or something like that. Okay, but whenever these guys, when they hit the judgment, I doubt an angel standing there, you know, 30 feet tall is going to be concerned about him scoring so many points in basketball. And I'm sure he's going to say, "Hoo-hoo, I'm impressed." Okay, the Lord doesn't take pleasure in those things. What does he take pleasure in? Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. In another place it says he takes pleasure in the death of his saints. He takes pleasure in that. So when a man fears God, the Lord takes pleasure in that. And that's a wise man to fear God, because we ought to fear a being who can speak the stars into existence. Verse 12, he says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion. Okay, that's who it's aimed at doctrinally, because the restoration of the nation of Israel will be one and the same with the second coming of Christ. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates, he hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Okay, going into the millennial time period. In the millennium, the harvester will overtake, the reaper will overtake the sower, because they'll be able to plant crops four times a year, not just one. Okay, where, you know, plant one something at the beginning of spring, harvest it at the end of spring, and then plant it again at the beginning of summer, harvest it at the end of summer, and again in the fall, and again in the winter, four times a year. And it's going to be a massive amount of crops. Remember the cluster of grapes that the people found in the land of Canaan was so big that two men had to carry it in a pole. Okay, now the millennial time period is going to revert back to pre-fall days, the fall of Adam. So they'll not have to fuss about the weeds, and the animals will go back to a vegetarian state. And so all this is going to be the greatest time on earth. The sun will give forth its light, much brighter, but yet not harming the body. Okay, where like if you've ever noticed that when you want to see some big fruit, big plants or crops, go up to Alaska, you know, where they have obviously a short growing season, but this time of year they've got 22 hours of sunlight. And so they can produce some very large, you know, pumpkins and stuff like that because of all the sunlight. Okay, verse 14, he maketh peace in thy borders. We obviously know that's not today. He sendeth forth his commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Okay, his word is what's running the program. The word of God, I mentioned that Hebrews 1:3. That's what's keeping the rain falling at a certain time. It's God's word that is controlling this. You know, the weather and everything. I realize that we have some people, you know, in high places that have a HAARP program or a SCALAR program in the Soviet Union, and they might be able to manipulate, you know, some of the weather here or there, but that is only due to God allowing it to happen. Okay, when it hits the tribulation time period, they may be trying to push their buttons or monitor the electricity, you know, and try to hit the, you know, waves and everything. But, hey, it's not going to work much of the times. The Lord is going to be pulling the shots. Absolutely. So his word runneth very swiftly. His word is portrayed to be like water, the cleansing part of it, John 15:3. And if you notice, water is constantly moving. Okay, It's as far as evaporating, or it's when the ground is unlevel, it's seeking its own level. Okay, in a cold time, it freezes, getting warmer, getting colder. It's moving at all times. It's not, you know, a stagnant water is dead water, and that's like the lukewarm water of Revelation chapter 3. So his word is like water, it runs very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? Now, we've had cold days down here, you know, in Indiana and so forth and so on. But who can stand before his cold? And if you really want to test that out, go up to Fairbanks in January. You know, 40 below degrees, below freezing, and take a cup of hot water, throw it up in the air, and it won't hit the ground. Okay, I don't know what happens to it. It just don't crystallize. I don't know. It just goes somewhere. Okay, and it's an amazing thing. It's hard to imagine how cold that is. It's just beyond the imagination unless you've been in it. Okay, who can stand before his cold? Verse 18, he sendeth out his word. Just like verse 15, his word runneth very swiftly. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. God is controlling these things. He showeth his word unto Jacob. Okay, that matches Romans 3, where the oracles of God are given unto the Jews. His statutes and his judgments on Israel. Now, because of that, right there, there has been no nation on earth where God spoke to audibly. He spoke to them audibly on Mount Sinai. And the nation on earth that God has given the written words of God to is the nation of Israel. Because of that, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, in our country, you can get a Bible anywhere. You could turn on the radio almost anywhere and hear some sort of Christian influence on the radio. I obviously understand that it's pretty pathetic nowadays, but you still could hear something anywhere in this country. And you could knock on doors and almost everybody is going to have some Bible somewhere. Okay, and this country began as a Christian nation, and because of that, we are responsible for a lot. Too much is given, much is required. For somebody to not live in pleasing to Jesus Christ in a liberal church in Europe is one thing, or a liberal church in America, that's even a different thing. The liberalism there is far surpassed than here. Or a Bible-believing church in this country, the ones in a Bible-believing church to whom much is given, much is required. And we need to keep that in mind. Okay, and so it's a shameful thing, it's a sad thing when someone loses the blessings they have, and then they finally realize, I didn't realize what I had. And I'm one of encouraging people to find out. When you take a vacation, go to a liberal church. You know, and just see what's going on. Find a fundamentalist church. Find a black church. You know, it's more entertaining there. Okay, find something and you'll find out what's going on in this country. And you'll see that the churches of this country are a mess. You know, to go down in Houston, Texas, go see Jolie Osteen. Go check the guy out. You know, check out the mess that he's got going on down there. And see that the Christianity espoused in America is pathetic. I mean, even Mormons claim to be Christian. There's a guy on TV, Glenn Beck is his name. He's getting quite a bit of clout. Okay, this guy's a Mormon. Okay, and when he espouses Christianity, he espouses that he's going to be a God someday. And when he has, like, David Barton on there and they talk about the Christian faith of America, David needs to tell him the Christian faith of America is not Mormonism. But as soon as he does that, he'll get booted off the air. Okay, so Glenn Beck is of the mindset, if he is in line with the doctrines of his church, that someday Mormon will become president and he will run the world as a king from the Oval Office, the replica Oval Office in the Mormon Tabernacle in Washington, D.C. And he's probably setting up Mitt Stone Romney. Okay, and Mitt Romney's, you know, nothing but a puppet or a liberal. Okay, and these guys are always trying to prop up somebody. Okay, and so when you deal with a Mormon, you got to realize they probably have the best terminology that make it sound like they're believers. When you say born again, they'll say, oh yeah, I'm born again, but they're thinking, you know, baptized in their little Mormon church with their holy underwear on. Okay, when they say scriptures, they're referring to not just the Bible itself, they're referring to the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, and the words of the prophets. They don't believe the King James Bible is perfect, even though they use that. Their wordings will be the Bible is the Word of God as it's correctly translated. And of course, who's going to determine that but the elder at the Mormon church? So even though Glenn Beck may say some good things, he's not to be trusted, especially about his doctrine. Okay, and if you ever get dealing with Mormons, now we don't have that big of a problem with that here, but if you happen to go out west, man, they are everywhere. And then talk to Bill Sneblin about Salt Lake City is one of the highest rated of prescription drugs for women in the country. Because they're trying to maintain this sweet little family, situation where they're trying to do this outside of the power of Jesus Christ, and these women can't handle these things. And so this is the problem. They're trying to live up to these standards that may or may not be biblical, okay? And they can't do it without the power of Jesus Christ. Okay, so the Word of God, don't know how I chased that rabbit, but the Word of God was given unto Jacob and unto Israel. Verse 20, He hath not dealt so with any nation, and that's true, He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them, praise ye the Lord. Now the nation of Israel was chosen by God as a nation to be an example to all nations. And if the nation of Israel obeyed God, He promised them in Deuteronomy 15 that your nation will become so wealthy that you will be able to lend to other nations. Now, the bankers, are usually the Jews, and they are lending to other nations, but they're doing it in the satanic fashion rather than in the biblical fashion. Okay, and so now this country, America, began as a, where people chose God, wanted to publicly declare the Lord Jesus Christ. So America is a unique situation, very similar to the history of Israel, but Israel is the one that God has promised His covenant to, not this country. Okay, Psalm 148. He says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights. I think He's telling us to praise Him. Only a scholar would probably miss that. Okay, praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. So there's creation, has emotion. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens. Three heavens. The third heaven is the throne of God. And ye waters that be above the heavens. So there's water up there. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Okay, so He spoke them into existence. Verse 6, He hath also established them forever. Okay, now the heavens of heavens, or the sun and the moon, okay, is He saying that's for, an eternal decree that the heaven and earth is going to be forever? No, because heaven and earth shall pass away. Okay, verse, He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree that shall not pass. His decree is forever. He is forever. Praise the Lord from the earth. And then He says, ye dragons and all deeps. Now that's easy to gloss over. Okay, ye dragons and all deeps. So there's something going on below our feet. Something dark. Something to do with Satan. Okay, and so that's below our feet. The Bible will hint at it at times, but we are not to be occupied with these things. Hebrews 13 verse 9 says that we are not to be occupied with strong meat, strange doctrines. We are to know a little bit about it, but we are not to be occupied, meaning make it a major doctrine that we're supposed to follow. A major aspect of the ministry. Talking about UFOs. If you want to get into any of that stuff, probably the quickest you can get into some of that stuff and not waste a lot of time is a guy named Steve Quayle on the internet. Okay, and he can show you some stuff on that. And that's enough you need to know. I wouldn't make a ministry out of it. Now, Steve Quayle's chosen to do that. That's his business. If he wants to do that, that's his choice. I don't really care to hit the judgment seat of Christ, stating, well, I tell people about UFOs, I'm really proud of you. No, the Lord wants us to tell people about the main things of the doctrine, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the authority of His Word. You major on the majors, you minor on the minors. And the reason why you want to know a little bit about this, in case the Lord puts you in the path of somebody, and plus, You recognize that you're not, you don't buy into the political system, that these people have our best interest at heart. And, you know, they're concerned about the security of our nation. Now, they could care less about that stuff. All they care about is themselves. That's just human nature. The exception proves the rule. Okay, and each of them will try to blackmail each of them, and that's how the political process works. Okay, ye dragons and all deeps below our feet, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. So the Lord uses these things, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind, hurricanes, earthquakes. The Lord uses these things to help man to realize that we are weak and vulnerable. Where it doesn't take God much to show us his power. I would dare say, you know, when he lets a great big thunder boom go off, and, you know, it shakes the house. And if you're in the house, I don't care how safe you feel, it still sends chills up my back just to hear that. And that's the power of God. And that's just a little bit of the power of God demonstrating himself. You know, all the, you know, hurricanes and all that stuff, you know, I've never lived through that. Don't plan to, don't want to. I remember the land hurricane, or the tornado, if you call it that, that occurred, what is it, in 65, Dad? Took one of our grain bins and put it down about 12 inches flat and pushed it a half a mile away, and it actually bounced across the field, and you could actually see where it hit right by the bridge on State Road 2 and then jumped over the bridge and went clear on the other side, landed about 200, 300 feet later, and ended up a half mile south. Tornadoes are an amazing thing where they can expand things, you know, and put a straw inside of a tree. I think years ago, I don't know if it was Monticello, down in there, where it just sucked everything right out of there, right out of the courthouse. Okay, and so, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, the power of God is simply amazing. We went down to Florida, down in Pensacola, and Kay would drive us around some of the areas. This was like a year or two after the hurricane, and it's funny, it's odd where you'd see, you know, the concrete slab here, and it's what was there is gone. And then there's a house here, and then there's a house there, and this house over here, the only thing that they lost was like a screen door. You know, where, why does it select this one and wipes it out, and this one, the screen door's off, you know, few shingles are gone. And then the next one, two down from it, it's gone. It's just amazing, the power of God. Okay, and so he says, fire, hail, snow, vapor, mountains, verse 9, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Okay, the mountains are amazing. It's always very enjoyable to drive into the mountains in Colorado when we lived in Colorado Springs. Just to drive out there, whenever you see a mountain, if you do climb up one, you get to the top and you look over there, and there's a mountain over there, and it says, come here, climb me. And a person, you know what people want to do? They want to run over and climb that mountain. It's funny. Mountains just sit there, but they just drive you to want to climb up those things. Of course, when you get older, you kind of lose that drive, or except you like to drive up them. You know, Pikes Peak was amazing then. 4th of July, they'd have a race up Pikes Peak. Takes you about an hour normally to drive up it. Sand, hairpin turns, and those guys would be doing that in about 20 minutes. When we were out there, the one guy that won it, he said, oh, my tire only went off halfway off the edge one time. No guardrails, no nothing. Okay, and so the mountains are an amazing thing. Okay, all hills, fruitful trees, and all cedars. Okay, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. I was thinking that one time when we took a Jeep up into the mountains. Do you remember that with Ray Mead? We got to the top of this mountain. It wasn't snowing when we were going up, but it was snowing when we got up to the top. And then you had to turn around. We was above timberline. And the snow had dusted the little path that we had taken down. There was like four of us in Jeeps. And Carl Dill looked like Hoss in a Bonanza. And his was not a stick shift. His was automatic. And his brakes was going out. And we were behind him. And he had the door open on the driver's side, and the pastor had his door open on his side, and if they were going to lose it, they were bailing out. And they got her stopped, and then the guy hit the brakes on ours, and all of a sudden our Jeep turned this way, and you're looking down this way, and man, oh man, and as soon as we got it stopped, you know, the guy had a song on the radio, we had a tape on there, and the song came up, Heaven is Sweeter on My Mind, right at that time. Well, we started thinking about that. Okay, but those mountains are amazing. Okay, verse 10, beast, all cattle, creeping things, and flying fowl. Okay, beast and fowl, those are pictures of unclean spirits. Kings of the earth, and all people, princes, and all judges of the earth. Okay, this is a Bible command where you and I are to praise the Lord. So we should be doing this every day. When you see something in nature that just amazes you, stop and praise the Lord. Verse 12, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Now, we are to praise his name. We are also to brag about his book. Psalm 138, verse 2, we exalt his word. So, praise his name. Okay, be in a habit of praising his name. You don't have to do it religiously or piously, but just throughout your day, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord about maybe you got a close call of something. Give God the praise for that. Where you didn't get that, you know, it could have been a very bad thing. You know, I was using a chainsaw and that thing came across and popped up and could have did a lot of damage. And so I just shut the thing off and said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, Lord, about 50 times. Because it would have put me in the hospital. And so those times, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for good times. Praise the Lord for bad times. Think about him throughout the day and thank the Lord for what he's done. Verse 14, he also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel. A people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. Okay, the children of Israel, they have a covenant with him. Okay, and so we praise the Lord. And the children of Israel, of course, is the covenant with Abraham, the covenant with David, and the covenant with Moses. The Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant are both unconditional. The Mosaic covenant is based on a condition. Okay, and so that basically is Old Testament. Then he's going to have a new covenant. Hebrews writes about the new covenant, and that is unconditional. Let's try that, Hebrews chapter 8. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that just because a person has Jewish blood in them, they are, you know, going to heaven, they're right with God, and all that stuff. No, it's the Jewish remnant who will inherit the benefits of this covenant. Jewish apostates will be just like the lost. They'll die and go to hell just like any lost Gentile. Hebrews 8, this is a New Testament translation of Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. He says in verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. That's the Mosaic covenant. because it continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, after the millennium, after the tribulation. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Millennial time period. It's when everybody knows the Lord. And then he says, and I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's the new birth of the nation of Israel. Okay, we'll stop at Psalm 148. Two more to go, probably be able to finish them up next week. Any questions or comments when we covered?